a beautiful sight, oh, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
Each team shall consist of three members who are at least 18 years old and from the same state. No ingredients other than snow, ice, or water may be used for the sculptures, and colorants, nope, they're not allowed. These are some of the rules of the U.S. National Snow Sculpting Competition. Nationals is set to unfold in Lake Geneva next week. We thought it's high time for a primer on ice and snow sculpting on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Don Berg is executive director of Winter Fun Incorporated. That's a Wisconsin-based nonprofit organization that works to enhance the appreciation for snow sculpting and competition at the national and international level. He's one of the founders of the U.S. National Snow Sculpting Competition. Don, welcome to the program.
And thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, explain for us what snow sculpting is and how you do it.
I can go all the way back to your childhood. There's a little child in every grown-up, actually. We are the grown-ups playing in the snow again. The original icon of snow carving or snow sculpting is the snowman. And kids will go out and roll the ball. And it gets gathered, and it's a large ball then. That's kind of the genesis of it. The rest of the story is when the grown-ups get going, they build up a crate, no top and no bottom, and it becomes a snow form. And we load the form up with heavy equipment, and then while it's being filled, we have stompers jumping in and stomping it, breaking up any big chunks or filling in voids within the whole form. And then when we have completed that, we drop the sides of the form, and we're left with a solid, compacted form, which we are ultimately going to sculpt from.
So wow. This compacted snow, it's got to be really tight in order to be able to chisel, I would assume.
Yeah, here. That's well, the sound of it when you pound on it. If the temperatures are below freezing, that block of snow is very, very tight, and you can't really even put your fingers through it or into it unless it's the higher temperatures, 40 or 50 degrees, then the snow becomes softer. But yes, it's fully compacted, and you treat it almost as though it was marble, and it's a subtractive method of sculpting. We're taking away material and leaving everything that we that doesn't look like our ultimate goal.
Well, now that you have this compact block, what are your tools of the trade? What do you use to chisel away?
Well, anybody that's ever sculpted wood, for instance, they're long-handled chisels of every shape and form, flat, wide, etc., sharpened tools, and that's one of the main tools that we use, the chisels. The other things is there's a long-handled ice chopper that you would use to, it's got a straight blade on the base of it, and you oftentimes chip ice away from a sidewalk. So at that, we have sharpened to a chisel edge, and it becomes a very workable tool. In fact, it's almost becoming universal as a sculpting tool because it's got the long handle, and we're working on a block of snow that's at the national level, 9 feet tall.
Mm.
And you get a longer reach with the longer handle on that, with that tool. And there's saws, hand saws that are used when we get down to the minute part of it. Then we're taking out the littler, smaller handled chisels, and smooth surfacing with like curry combs, which is actually a brush type tool that they comb horses with. brush horses with, and we can create all kinds of textures, I guess, in the sides of the block of snow. And so those are the, you know, the shovels, machetes, and the axes. These are all used along the way. Some of the carvers that we have seen have been making their own tools, which will help them do things that they weren't able to get other tools, you know, store-bought tools with. So they're specialized tools to be able to achieve the kinds of things that they have planned on.
Talking right now with Don Berg. He is executive director of Winter Fun Incorporated, one of the founders of the U.S. National Snow Sculpting Competition that will start winding up in Lake Geneva next week. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you enjoy about the art of snow sculpting? Have you ever created a piece of art with snow? Well, beyond a snowman. Join in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Don Berg, I was really fascinated by that there are competitions built around snow sculpting with very particular rules. People come from all over the country for the U.S. Nationals. Would you consider snow sculpting a sport?
Well, that's an interesting question. There was a while back, there was some lobbying going on that the Olympic Games were being called on to create an event, calling it a sport. But we fell short. They fell short on that effort, and it's become we call it a spart, a sport, yes, because it's in competition, and art, so it's part.
I like it.
Back in 1988, I was privileged to be a producer of the first international snow sculpting competition as part of the Winter Olympic Games in Calgary. And we hosted 23 countries to participate in that event. And the SPART, we'll call it, the competitions are worldwide. I participated with their coming up, the guests that you got coming up, Tom Kuyoff and another carver, and participated in an event in Yekaterinburg, Russia. Mm. And we helped produce that event and then ultimately carved in it and against a dozen or so countries. And we were good enough to win that event. So those are the kinds of stories that happen as a result of the development of the SPART.
So how does one become a snow sculpting artist? How do you learn this? How do you practice? What goes into developing this talent?
Well, I went to Layton School of Art. I'm an artist, and there are a lot of curiosity kind of is part of it. A lot of the people that are carving in these events aren't necessarily professional artists. They're engineers. There's an attorney out in Massachusetts who's an excellent sculptor, and it's really the free material. It comes right out of the sky into your yard. So let's say, mm-hmm. Hey, let's gather that up and make a form or make a pile and apply the artistic energy that a lot of us have. So that's I had my start in the frigid materials, ice first, and then I went bigger. It went to a larger format. And then we created the snow sculpting out of the same kind of thinking in a larger format.
So, how long does it take to create a snow sculpture?
I'll just use the national competition as an example. There's three people on the team, and they They start on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, at about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. And they have till Saturday at 11 o'clock when the horn sounds and we yell out tools down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and half of Saturday to do what for that particular competition. There are others around the world that are large, have larger blocks of snow, like a 10-foot cube, 10-foot, 10-foot by 10-foot.
That take longer. We're going to pause for just a moment. Don Berg is with us, Executive Director of Winter Fun Incorporated, one of the founders of the U.S. National Snow Sculpting Competition. Gets underway at Lake Geneva next week. Join in, 800-642-1234. What do you enjoy about snow sculpting? Join in the conversation back after this news.
A beautiful sight, oh, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
Here is snow sculpting by the numbers. It takes 100 hours to complete a snow sculpture in Lake Geneva. More than 20,000 people are expected to come view the snow sculptures at Winterfest in downtown Lake Geneva. Don Berg is the head of Winter Fun Incorporated. That's a Wisconsin-based nonprofit organization that works to enhance the appreciation for snow sculpting. He's helping us get better acquainted with the artistry and effort behind these snow sculptures. And you can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you participated in a snow sculpting competition? What are the challenges you encountered? What do you appreciate about seeing snow sculptures? Join in or email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Tom, who joins us from Columbus. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good morning to both of you. Good morning, Don. I think we've met several times years ago. Probably about 20 years ago. I did it for about, I don't know, 6-8 years over at Tommy Bartlett's back when they used to host it there for us. And in fact, one of my former teammates is with the international team right now out in Breckenridge. So, yeah, nice show. Glad you're on. Good to hear from you.
And thank you.
Tom,
yeah, hear from you.
Tom, tell us about what drew you to snow sculpting.
Well, I was actually in a band with a couple of guys, Steve and Willie, and Steve had been involved in sculpting, you know, I guess kind of from its inception or close to its inception, at least in that area. But, you know, we were at rehearsal one night, and he said, hey, you know, you're a pretty artistic guy. You've got some carving around the house and stuff. You want to give this a try? So I set up, of course. So, and I was in a position to be able to take the time, you know, from work and have my family was at the point in that stage in our lives where being gone for a few days away from home, there wasn't, nothing was going to burn down. And, but yeah, it was overall just a phenomenal experience. I do want to emphasize though, first of all, there's some extremely talented people out in the state. Wisconsin's blessed with a lot of really phenomenal artists. But when you start with that block, the snow consistency of which can vary. You could have nice natural snow compacted really well, or if it was, you know, plowed up off a parking lot, there might be branches or, you know, small limbs or stuff in it. And the consistency really can help dictate, you know, depending where you are in the sculpture, how things come out. But when you start with that raw compacted block, it's a lot of work. I mean, and that work changes from being more, I would say, physical demanding to once you get down into the detail work with your cheese graters and your curry combs and your smaller knives and screwdrivers or whatever you happen to use to, and it's hand tools only. This isn't ice. There's no power tools involved. It changes more to a stressful thing. And, you know, you might work away at something for 45 minutes only to turn around and have it come off or have your teammate accidentally hit it with a handle or something or whatever, in which case you hope it's cold enough that you can dip that particle in water, maybe hold it up, let it freeze, kind of weld it back into shape and work around the ice, which has now changed the uniformity of that area you're working on. And it's just a fantastic experience. And then once you see that art come out of not only your block, but it's fun to watch the teams next to you and watch the people and how they execute their initial, how it's gone from inception to what they can actually bring out of that snow.
And Tom, what incredible insights and lots of teamwork there. And also, you must really have to think on your feet and problem solve. Don Berg, what are the challenges involved with creating art out of snow?
Tom hit on a lot of the features of that. If you're working with other people, they're by itself is part of the dynamics. You first have to have meetings and start making drawings, particularly if it's brand new, if you're not copying something, which we basically on a higher level of competition frown on, because creativity is one of the major factors in voting. But deciding on what you want to carve with a team is the dynamics of personal behavior and leadership. In our cases, we have three people on a team, and oftentimes a leader will come out of that of the three, and then that leader will move the dynamics and the considerations of what you want to carve with as a group. Once you have all decided that's what we want to do, then you have probably worked up some drawings, and then many of the carvers will create a model of what they actually want to sculpt, which is really a very important tool so that everybody knows where on the block, a larger block and format, you have to go to be able to execute what you have planned on.
So I'm hearing some diplomacy that has to happen, some delegating of tasks, and a whole lot of teamwork. Is that right?
That's right. That is, by the way, one of the wonderful dynamics of it all, to see the three people with a single idea and then be able to transform the concept to the model, then ultimately to the full-fledged sculpture. It is teamwork. It's you got to be together. One member of the team may not be as totally talented in terms of rendering, but that person becomes a support person where you're moving a lot of snow and you're always climbing around the stuff that you've taken off from the block. So that person becomes an assistant or an aide, and that's just one case. Generally, the three parties or the three members are all together doing the same thing, all the way around the based on the plan that is being executed to get the end product to look like your original concept.
Tom, thank you so much for sharing your experience. You can join in as well at 800-642-1234. Share your experience from snow sculpting or perhaps ice sculpting. Let's go to Tony now, who joins us from Green Bay. Hi, Tony.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tony.
Hi. I grew up in Houghton, Michigan, about 4 hours north of Green Bay, and they've already got about 200 into the snow this year. Michigan Tech University has a winter carnival every year, and this is, I would say, close to probably 75 years, I don't know, that they've had the biggest event at the carnival is the snow sculpting and snow statues. And they have fraternities build the biggest ones because they have the most students available. They'll have, you know, they'll build forms and put scaffolding up, and every year is a different theme. It might be Disney or like the Greek gods or horror movies, and the whole town actually gets involved because they also have a one-nighter competition where the local businesses can do a smaller scale statue. And I was just wondering if you were ever up there to see that.
I have not. I've heard lots of claims that you've made, very positive, they are that old. I think they're one of the granddaddies, along with St. Paul Winter Carnival, in the country here, and actively producing snow sculptures as part of an overall carnival. The reputation is widespread.
Don Berg, you help organize the U.S. National Snow Sculpting Competition, which is about to take place in Lake Geneva. How does a team qualify, and where are these 15 teams coming from?
Well, over the years, we've been in business doing this for 33 years, and we've had varied amounts of success in recruiting sculptors. One year we did an event at Milwaukee County Zoo. It was 43 teams. Mm. Now, I took a big lesson out of that one. You put three people on a team, and if you multiply it, and the numbers are very large, it takes a lot of logistic work to get that to be organized. But from that, we decided that there's got to be a better trial and proof in the pudding kind of effort to get a national event to where it should be, and that's have teams qualify on a lower level. So we created a sanction system where a state would be sanctioned by us, and they would be able to put on a snow sculpting event from the state, and they become an official provider of a champion that then ultimately is sent to the national competition. So all the teams that we have participating have won a state competition, or if they have other methods and other experiences that they may have gotten into an international competition, there's room for that to happen. But generally the state champions are sent to us. For instance, Rockford, Illinois has their Illinois. Anchorage, Alaska has theirs. Frankenmuth has the Michigan. So, and there are like 13 states that we have sanctioned, all sending a champion to the U.S. Nationals for to get the actual crown of the U.S. United States National Snow Sculpting Champion.
So how does the judging process work? Because after all, this is art.
Yes, that's another interesting challenge in this process. Years ago, there were some people, some of the carvers came to me and said, where did you get these judges? We try to make the choice for judging legitimate by having fellow artists that have carved in snow or other materials. They have an appreciation, understanding of what it is to be a sculptor. They become a judge. Well, I happened to be, I don't know, washing my face or something, looked in the mirror, and hey, I said, well, there's a judge. And what turned out from that moment was we went to took the event and let the event be the sculptor's event. I'm a facilitator. I have them come in and they carve. They have a goal to make find a champion from that event. It's their event. We turned it over to them, and the sculptors themselves are the judges, and they could not vote for their own block. So what I did is I turned it back to them and said, it's yours. We'll put it together so that you can compete fairly and honestly and pick your own champion. And that's been 10 or 15, maybe 20 years ago that's been happening. Otherwise, the other events that are out there that don't do that will do what I've mentioned before, and that's to invite people in that have some knowledge of the dimensional arts. Architects, engineers, builders of anything, other sculpting materials that they can understand the concept of sculpting and the difficulties that are involved. You can really know when you see a sculpture in snow how proficient the carvers are in that art form. And that's the expertise level of the judging.
Dave in Milwaukee called in and he couldn't stay with us. He lived in Lake Geneva for many years, and he's wondering this: how much do you have to change your plans for the designs when it's warm? How does the temperature affect what the contestants are asked to do?
There, that is, we've had that that circumstance is, it's common. It happens all the time that it's either very cold or very warm, or those variables Mother Nature happens to produce to us as sculptors in Mother Nature's materials. And the result of a hot day or a warm day can be very damaging. The snow softens heavily. You can actually draw the snow away from the form with your fingertips. It's like very wet, soft snow, and it's very hard to finish it off with lots of detail because of the snow loses its ability to support weight, a particular upper weight. If you have an arm sticking out, it would probably not survive. We have had the challenge of having a change in the finishing, the ending goal, meaning if it was on Saturday at 11 o'clock, the teams got together and they said, we want to end it earlier, so we have to deal with the warming weather. A vote was had to be unanimous amongst them all. They were about to do that, and a gentleman stood up and he said, well, I'm going to oppose this change. Mother Nature is the fourth member of our team. We have to consider what that represents in the ultimate work and ending product. It's got to be considered. If you don't plan Mother Nature into your project, you may take the lessons with you and not succeed.
What happens if there's no snow? Do you ever use artificial snow?
Lake Geneva's snow is provided to us from the ski hill.
Okay.
Which is that particular material, that snow is more resilient to the warmer weather and lasts longer. Just by the makeup of the material, but over the years, they are an angel to us. The Grand Geneva Resort has been, if there's no snow in the city anywhere, and it's cold enough to make the snow, we are able to put on this competition. So, thank you, the Grand Geneva. Yeah, that's where that would come from. But if they're around the country, some of the states that don't have those privileges or those accessibility of making snow, they just simply either postpone it to another date where there could be more snow available or makeable, and or they just postpone their event for another year.
The best snow carvers in the country will converge on Lake Geneva for the U.S. National Snow Sculpting Competition. It kicks off Monday with the building of the snow blocks. Teams arrive on Tuesday. The competition starts to unfold on Wednesday. They're coming from Alaska, Colorado, Illinois, Iowa, Maine, Minnesota, Nebraska, New York, Vermont, and, oh yeah, Wisconsin. This is the bread and butter of what Don Berg works on as executive director of Winter Fun Incorporated. Your questions about snow sculpting and what it entails at 800-642-1234. What do you love about snow sculpting? Have you been on a team? Have you done a competition? Join in with your story. 800-642-1234. We'll be back with more Wisconsin Weekend after this news update.
A beautiful sight, oh, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
The snow artists use a variety of tools to transform snow cylinders into masterpieces. These tools of the trade include ice choppers, ice picks, chisels, machetes, and saws. We're getting a 101 on snow sculpting on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you love about snow sculptures? What do you want to learn about this artistry? Are there snow or ice sculptures on display in your community? Join in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Tom Kuioff is an accomplished sculptor and is internationally recognized for his mastery of wood, ice, steel, stone, and bronze. His art sculpting studio is in Milwaukee. Tom and his team won the U.S. National Snow Sculpting Competition 2 times and international competitions 6 times. He joins us from Wausau. Tom, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
And Don Berg stays with us. He's executive director of Winter Fun Incorporated, a Wisconsin-based nonprofit organization that works to advance snow sculpting. Tom, I want to start with you here. You've won several snow sculpting competitions, both on the national and international stages. How long have you been involved with snow sculpting, and what drew you to it?
Well, I tell you, the guy that's over there that we're talking with, he drew me to it. I've been involved in it since 1985. Don and his teammates had carved in Quebec for a few years and decided it's something they wanted to take to Milwaukee, and of course since then it's spread all over. But the first year in 85, they asked me, being a sculptor in Milwaukee, to be a judge at the competition. And I took it fairly seriously, went to see how it developed from the beginning to the end, and fell in love with it. Met some professional sculptors. You know, at first you think snow sculpture, it's, you know, kind of an art for, you know, maybe not the professional, but when I got there, I was pleasantly surprised to see that there was plenty of professional sculptors out there, and I loved the art form.
Well, you're a sculptor. You're a sculptor. You work in, you know, wood, ice, steel. How does that translate when you're working with snow?
Yeah, I mean, I was basically a carver. You know, my love of art is really carving, and snow, I kind of related it to like Michelangelo, you know, carving white marble. The white of the snow is a great material for sculpture. You just have the shadows, the darks, and the lights, and makes a great media for somebody that really likes the subtractive method of sculpting.
Tom, do you have any favorite pieces of art, snow sculpture, you've either created or other teams have created, or ones that you've witnessed over the years that just stay with you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even though it may not last more than a day or two, or sometimes, of course, in the Arctic Circle may last months, but the memories of doing it for a sculptor, making the pieces, are really, really what's important. And some of the images that we've done ourselves and other people, you know, it's hard to put it, you know, I can't really name just one, but several, you know, I guess would be my answer.
How are the national competitions different from competitions abroad, international ones?
Well, for me, I guess, you know, I was involved in it from the beginning, from 86. So 87, we made our first trip to Finland. And it's meeting the people, you know, learning the culture of these different countries. I mean, back then, the art was relatively new. So, you know, you'd go to the town it was, you'd meet the mayor, you know, you'd have dinner. You know, it was an event where they want to show you, you know, what was going on and in their town and bring their culture to you. And that was the beauty of the international thing for us. For the nationals, of course, that's fine too, but we really enjoyed the international.
Tom, there will be thousands of people who walk by these sculptures, take them in at Lake Geneva for nationals. What would you tell people as they go and look at these sculptures?
Well, that's the beauty of snow sculpture. You get people that would never go into an art gallery or into somebody's studio, but yet they're out there in Lake Geneva walking the streets looking at this art. And I think it really does bring art to a lot of people who wouldn't normally go see it. Why is that? I think snow is a media that we've all played with. Everybody's made something out of it. And I think anybody can relate to it. So, the people that go out there, I think they really have an appreciation not only of the snow art, but art in general. It really helps out.
Well, Tom, you're not competing in this year's U.S. Nationals, but what advice would you like to share for all those teams who are coming in from around the country? What advice do you have for them this year?
Well, it's like I was just looking this morning at the international going on in Breckenridge, and I saw they had some warm weather. A friend of mine that's there, one of the guys in my building, Brett, his piece fell down. I mean, you gotta, with snow sculpture, it's we're weather watchers. You know, we get up in the morning, we watch the weather. We go to bed at night, we watch the weather. You only have so much time to get the piece done. Sometimes you have to put out your sunscreens. Sometimes you take them down. But timing is everything. So a lot of people work that last night when it's cold, get their piece done. Sometimes you got to change your design a little. You got to be a little bit flexible with Mother Nature, I'd say.
Don Berg, I'll let you have the final word here as we wrap up. What advice do you have for people who are coming to take in these snow sculptures at Lake Geneva?
First one, I would. Good morning, Tom. The first
morning,
thing
Tom.
I would. don't be in a hurry. The exhibit is free, and it's right on the shores of Geneva Lake, and the atmosphere and the festivities of it all and being able to wander around the blocks that are being carved or even finished, you can gather a real sense of what Tom has said today and there was another Tom earlier. Mm-hmm. Those are all collective energies that have really involved themselves in the stuff that comes into the falls in your yard.
Well, Tom and Don, we have to end it here. Thank you so much for joining us and introducing us to snow sculpting. Tom Kuioff, his sculpting studio is based in Milwaukee. He and his teammates have won the U.S. National Snow Sculpting Competition 2 times and the international competitions 6 times. Don Berg has been with us this hour. He is executive director of Winter Fun Incorporated. That's a Wisconsin-based nonprofit that works to enhance the appreciation for snow sculpting and competition. He helped found the U.S. National Snow Sculpting Competition, which takes place in Lake Geneva starting Wednesday. By the way, the Wisconsin State Snow Sculpting Competition will be held in Fond du Lac February 10th through the 12th. And the Lake Superior Ice Festival is this weekend where there's ice carving. We are crowdsourcing Wisconsin Weekend. Tip us off on something cool that could reach all corners of our state. We'd love to produce a show on it. Send along your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings@wpr.org. That's mornings@wpr.org, and we'll explore your idea. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Snow and cold trigger warm memories for Crystal Chan, now living in Chicago. She recalls what winter meant during a Wisconsin childhood and how she tries to recapture that now.
Something magical happens when I go home to Wisconsin in the winter. The congestion of Chicago melts away, and the cool, calm, undulating land comes into focus, covered in snow, and the earth stretches out freely from horizon to glowing horizon. When I was a child, we would drive from Oshkosh to Wausau to visit my grandmother. She had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's back in the 80s and didn't pass away until a couple years ago, so almost all my life, when we drive up north in the winter, the snow would cover the rows upon rows of corn, and then the rocks, and then the bushes. Everything would disappear under the ubiquitous blanket of white, not unlike how Alzheimer's was covering up my grandmother. Sometimes the snow would melt and the stubble of corn would appear, and sometimes my grandmother would remember my name. But then sometimes she wouldn't, and the snow would cover everything all over again. My mom would take us to the local sledding hill in town. It was called Garbage Hill because it was the site of the old city dump, now covered over with dirt and grass. I never questioned the name as a child, but as an adult, I wonder why you would ever name anything garbage and expect people to be attracted to it. Yet, that's precisely what it was called. It was the highest thing for miles around, and that's where the young discovered their love for speed. In a way, a part of me is kind of resentful for naming something so fun Garbage Hill. But then, another part of me respects the fact that even garbage can be transformed, and that there is an inherent strength in naming things exactly as they are. In parking lots in Wisconsin, the snowplows can push up mountains of snow that are monstrous and glistening white. One day, my dad, who is usually overly cautious, had the brazen idea to ram the car with the four of us in it through one of the smaller snowbanks in a Shopko parking lot. Even my mom went along with the idea. We all had this vision of our car blasting through the snowbank like a rocket, sending snow flying in all directions. My dad hit the accelerator, and we rammed into that snowbank, and our seatbelts locked as the car slammed and stopped dead at the bank's edge, the snow solid and heavy like a brick wall and laughing at us, we who tried to defy the gods. Dad swore something bad. We all rubbed our necks and then got out to see the damage. Of course, we needed to push the car out of the snowbank so we could drive home, the four of us humble and silent. Snow in Chicago doesn't last long. Flakes of snow often melt upon contact, and if it does stick around, it turns black within hours. The one exception is the snow along Lake Michigan, and I slip on my snowshoes and go out there whenever I can. But for nearly everyone else, snow is messy and sloppy and dirty. Maybe that's why, when I tell people that winter is my favorite season, they look at me like I'm an alien. And maybe they're right. Maybe the heart is not really one big muscle, but more a jigsaw puzzle. And this piece, this winter piece of mine, fits only with Wisconsin, my home.
Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. This is the Ideas Network.